All right, folks, welcome back to Last Mount with Dwyer.
Yeah,
basketball. It's been a minute. We're here. We've been perplexed as anybody else. Maybe we're confused of what's going on because, league is wild, right?
Man, and nothing seems to make any sense. I was talking to Tyler Bischoff the other day on his show and just trying to – he asked me about going through the teams that I know are for sure good or for sure bad, and outside of Nevada and San Jose State, you just don't really know.
Wyoming.
Yeah, true.
Just saying. Somebody has to win tonight.
So we got three?
This is our little podcast here, MW Wire, Eli Bedker, Jeremy Moss here. Speed show a little bit because we're on a time crunch, but okay, let's start with first off, why were they handing out tuxedo t-shirts at UNLV on Tuesday night? I want to start there.
I have no idea what that was about.
I asked Tyler to send me one. He did not reply on Twitter, so I don't know what's up with that. but seriously, should we stick with Air Force real quick?
Yeah, why not?
Are we criminally underrating them in our power rankings each week at like number 7 or 8?
They're playing a lot more like a top half team than a bottom half team in Mount West right now. Their last four games, they have a 14-point win over San Diego State, an 18-point win over UNLV. They led Nevada at halftime, Then they beat Boise State by 14. So they're beating the better teams out of this conference by double digits. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, everybody knows my joke about just play hockey lineup, but it's interesting because when you look at UNLV, who they'll play eventually, it's like, okay, is UNLV any good? I don't know. They're beating up on the crappy teams. But Air Force is doing kind of the opposite. So we have Air Force at 9th this week. That seems a bit – coming into the week, that seems a bit too low. You said they're playing a top half team. Like, I know there's a game on Saturday, the upcoming for Air Force. Where should they be? Should they be top half?
You know, they should take care of business against San Jose State. The way that they've been playing lately, I don't have any doubt that they win that game. But again, you just don't know with the way this conference is going. But that would put Air Force at 4-4 and likely in the top five of the standings. And considering who they've beaten, I think you could make the argument that Air Force could be slotted anywhere at 5th or 6th right now in the standings. But again, that's subject to change, and we've flirted with the idea of just about any team being as high as 4th or 5th and as low as 8th or 9th. So,
or 2.
Air Force is another team that's in that big mess right there in the middle.
Yeah, because they're sitting at they beat UNLV, who's 5-1, Boise State yesterday, as we mentioned, and they crushed UNLV. They lose to a pretty good CSU, well, not pretty good, but a pretty good Nico Carvacho CSU team because he's pretty good. I don't know, New Mexico, Utah State, and all those are on the road except for the UNM loss at home. So I joked on Twitter because the voice of the Air Force Falcons likes to chat with us or tag us on Twitter for a lot of things, which is great. I make a joke. Do you see what I put on last night? I'm like, hey, Air Force will probably beat a team in the conference tournament. I'm like, oh, we're probably going to be wrong. It's like, hey, maybe not.
You never know. You just never know.
Wasn't it Air Force that beat UNLV a couple years ago?
Well, they almost beat them last year. That game went into overtime.
Maybe that's what it was.
That was a pretty good matchup. But Air Force did beat them, I believe, 2 years ago.
Maybe that's what it was. The tournament. So what is Air Force doing? Like, why or how are they doing this? Because they had 100 points, 106, which was their first ever 100-point game in Mountain West history, conference game at least. They're not scoring. Like, we know their efficiency, too. Like, they're pretty low. Not efficiency, but maybe pace of play is a better word. Where they don't want to, they don't need, or they're usually not going to score 75 points, but they've been putting up 70 plus a couple times this year. So what is the change in conference play where they're winning at home and beating at least two decent teams?
Well, they shoot the basketball pretty well. They're 90th right now in the country in effective field goal percentage. And though they don't shoot the three ball as well as they have in recent years, they're still getting good looks and they're capable of hitting them. A number of players on this team can knock down shots from the perimeter. You have Ryan Swan, you have Chris Joyce, AJ Walker. Lavelle Scotty is definitely one of my favorite players in this conference. So they're not going to make any headlines with what they're doing. They're just methodical, and Dave Pilipovich is doing the best that he can with this team. The major issue for them is turning the ball over. That's an issue that they've had throughout the season. But when they aren't turning the ball over and they're getting good looks at the basket, they can certainly be capable of winning some of these games. But if they continue to limit their turnovers, they're going to be a pretty tough out.
Yeah, we'll see how they go, because I don't know where to put them. Because, again, this league, we do our rankings every week. It's like San Diego State, oh, they lose to this team, you beat this team. You see New Mexico, which has won, what, one game since they beat Nevada? Is that right? Or have they not won since then?
They blew out San Jose or Wyoming.
Wyoming, okay, yeah. So they've gone 1-4 since blowing out Nevada. So it's like, where are they going to be? It's going to be interesting to watch, because you think during league play we know a bit more. Like, okay, we figured, look at Boise State. They lose to Nevada by 1 point. Cody Martin makes that jumper to get a 1 point victory. Okay, they play fairly close to Fresno State, and then the Air Force game. It's hard to tell who's doing what and who to trust, because, like you mentioned, there's, what, three teams you really trust? Two bad, one good?
Yeah, that's about it.
Because I don't trust UNLV just yet. People can get mad at me, but like I said, look who they've played. They have played in league play. They beat, which they're winning is fine. CSU only by two, who they're, besides Nico, they're not that great of a team overall. If you think about it, maybe Page, but they blow out Wyoming great. They beat New Mexico, which, again, who knows what they're going to do. They beat San Jose as they should, and they swept New Mexico because they beat them the other day. So, and they're lost to Air Force. So it's like they're beating teams, but they're beating every team that's in the bottom of the conference right now. I want to see, like, this Saturday, they play at San Diego State. Huge rivalry game. On the road, out there in Viejas. I don't know what to make when they play San Diego State, because the Aztecs aren't very good. Then they play Nevada. They play, like, their stretch. Like, here's how I'll know they're for real. Listen to this next stretch, man. San Diego State on the road. Host Nevada. At Utah State. At Boise State. Host Fresno. I honestly would not be shocked if they lose those five in a row. That would not surprise me.
Yeah, it wouldn't. It would surprise me a little bit. I think that they can win at least one of those games, and they probably are capable of winning three of those games. But that, like you said, it's going to be very telling about this team. And Marvin Menzies mentioned that after the New Mexico game on Tuesday night. He said that the people that are skeptical of UNLV right now are saying that they haven't beaten anyone. But they really haven't. They beat New Mexico twice, who has been hit or miss, San Jose State, CSU, and Wyoming, who's also terrible. And so this next stretch of five games is about as tough of a stretch as you could possibly have in conference play. So if they come out of this with a 3-2 record or better, then I think that they're very much legit. But none of these matchups, according to KenPom, they have higher than a 37% chance of winning. Uh-oh. So the likelihood of winning two or three games, according to what KenPom has here, is pretty low. So we'll see what they're capable of doing. But three games on the road against legitimate contenders, and then hosting the top two teams in Nevada and Fresno State, that's really, really challenging.
Yeah, that'll be, like, realistically, they should probably, but they have a good chance to beat San Diego State. I don't know why that's only given them basically a 1-4 chance to win, or not 1-4, 1-5, 2-5, whatever, my math's wrong, 38%. Nevada, they're not going to win. Like, Utah State, 12% seems low, because Utah State hasn't been, and like, we've seen what they've been doing. They get blown out by Nevada. Yeah, I don't know. The road games are tough. We know how this league is. We go on the road. How can you play? It's hard to play well on the road.
If you were to guess win-loss for his next five games, what would you say?
Realistically, let me pull it back up again. I'm bouncing around. I'd give him two. I think they can win twice.
Which ones do you think? The home games, do you think they win?
I think they'll beat San Diego State.
Okay.
Because Aztecs can win that game, just because we've seen they've been like the sort of like the Mexico, but not to the extreme. They've been up or down. It's like, okay, they beat this team, they lose to that team. Like, they have no business losing to certain teams on their schedule, and yet they. Well, I don't want to put Air Force in that category that they shouldn't lose to them because they're playing better. But a double digit loss, I think
they scored 14 points in that first half too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. 48 overall. So it's like that was a bad game for sure. Like, they have the talent to beat UNLV, especially at home, but. If I'm going on who they'll probably beat, they'll probably beat San Diego State. They actually might win both road games, Boise and San Diego State.
Maybe. What about Utah State?
I say no. I say they'll win. I'd be confident saying they'll win two of the games, and the most likely games for me would be San Diego State and Boise State. Even that's basically what KenPom says. Fresno's right in the mix, but at home. I trust Fresno a little bit more than I do the other teams, so I'll say 2-3, and those are the two victories I'm predicting.
Yeah, I'm probably with you. I'm going back to last year and what UNLV did when they upset Nevada on the road. So I don't know if I can even discount UNLV at home against Nevada just because of how those teams match up. And Nevada's been pretty shaky too. But I give them a pretty decent shot at beating San Diego State. I just cannot trust the Aztecs with what they've done. The Tuesday night led Fresno State by 20 and somehow managed to blow that game. They've been so up and down. Yeah, exactly. I think I trust UNLV more than San Diego State at this point. I don't think that they'll beat Nevada at home, though I do give them a decent shot. They'll probably win one of the games on the road against Utah State or Boise State, and Fresno State's probably a pick 'em for me.
Yeah, because being at home, Fresno, like, they're beatable, clearly. But let me ask you this. So let's stick with San Diego State for a quick moment. So I'm going over to, oh, this is actually updated. So I go to Bracket Matrix, which I may start doing some weekly updates on Monday because brackets come out Monday or Tuesday typically. So I'm going to Bracket Matrix. Nevada, 4 seed, fine, cool. You know what the most surprising thing of that is? San Diego State is being considered by at least one bracket as an 11 seed.
I'm on the bracket right now. I'm very
It's the
confused.
bingo bracket, whatever that is. I it was 121 the other day, like, excuse me, on January 21st, the other couple days ago, before the loss, obviously, they were at the same spot. Okay, I'm like, I was just gonna bring up the bracket just because, hey, here's what they had the other day. But after the 22nd, and including the Fresno State loss, they're still at 11. Do they have any? I didn't really look at their website too much. Is there anything specific about the bracket? Why they're doing it differently, maybe?
I'm pulling it up right now, and I don't really see anything that would indicate it's
Oh, actually,
much
I
of a
apologize.
different thing.
Okay, really quick. They were 11. They actually updated the bracket on the 23rd, which is today here on Wednesday. They removed San Diego State from the bracket, looks like. But as of the 22nd, they had San Diego State on the bracket.
Okay,
Which.
well, in reality, SDSU is nowhere near the
Either,
field.
yeah, so I mean, like, either way, regardless before the loss or not, they moved Fresno to 13. But I'm like, I don't get. I need to look at it and see if there's something different. Because some brackets do odd things, but. There's no reason San Diego State at 10-8 should be an at-large consideration at all. I looked
No.
around at more. I don't want to say reputable because who knows who this person is? And maybe they do a great job, and it's just one glitch or one little thing. Because they do have, like, their top four lines are pretty consistent. They're fine overall, at least from a quick glance. I don't want to dive too deep and break down one random person's bracket who submitted it to Bracket Matrix because they have, like, Nevada 3 seed, Duke, Michigan State, Virginia, Tennessee 1, Gonzaga 2. It's just at the bottom, it gets a little interesting. So, but there's no reason. Like, anywhere else you look, it's like Utah State's being considered. Like, in the bracket matrix, Utah State's a, what, first four out. Fresno State's not on there, really. Well, there's, like, one bracket. They might be in there eventually if they win a couple games. They're the only two teams of any chance. But I just saw the Aztec thing. I'm like, really? Come on.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. I don't know. I feel like it happened again last year with San Diego State holding on to some at large contention. I know UNLV did as well, but as of right now, definitely just Nevada in the field and Fresno State and Utah State kind of lurking, but would need a huge run to make things interesting.
Yeah, it's I it's a like I know we're getting closer to Selection Sunday. Maybe we'll spend a few minutes here on it, but it's only Nevada, correct? Because there's no other team.
Yes.
Like, I've seen, like, The Athletic and ESPN or Sports Illustrated or CBS. They kind of, or Chris Dobertin mentioned, like, oh, they're, like, one of the first four first state out. I just don't see a path for Utah State to get in there unless they happen to upset Nevada at least once.
That's what would have to happen, I would think, or at least beat Nevada and then get to the conference tournament
Yeah.
final. But as of right now, their best win is a neutral site victory against St. Mary's, and that is their only top 100 KenPom win to date. So that's not going to get it done.
Not enough. Does Nevada have? They have what, 200 wins maybe? Because BYU dropped out. They have the Loyola Chicago. They have a couple. Yeah, they have what, five, six? Okay, they have.
Loyola Chicago, Arizona State, Grand Canyon, South Dakota State,
Yeah.
Utah State, and Fresno State.
Okay, I just missed. Okay, I thought it was fewer than that. But all right. Let's go over a list you made because this could be a quick show. Actually, before we do the list, let's mention kind of what's going on the next upcoming week, I guess, for a moment here because there's some crazy stuff happened, right? Because it's a league play. Blowouts are a
Oh yeah.
norm, apparently, because
Yeah.
that's a thing. Is it still just four single-digit victories?
We had one more last night, so it's 5 of 32 games, which have been decided by single digits.
Also, really quick, let's play a game because we have San Jose State at Wyoming tonight, depending when you're listening to this. They're winless in league play. You can get in price, $4, if you want to brave the weather in Laramie. Just saying. Let's play our game Pick Center. Or the BPI. Who do you think's favored?
I think Wyoming's probably favored.
You would be... hold on, my internet's loading slowly. You're correct. Okay, that's not... They're at home, so that's not too far-fetched, right?
So I would say like 71%.
81%.
81, okay.
That's a bit high.
Yeah, I don't know if I love that so much. I think San Jose State has a bit more of a shot here.
They're basically even, like, across the most standard stats, like points per game, points allowed, field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. The only real difference is Wyoming's defense is a tad better.
Mm-hmm.
Barely, and San Jose can rebound a bit better, but I don't know. I'll just say it's a give it to the Justin James factor to score probably 28 points to get the win.
That could be it. I don't know. I think I'm going to – oh, man, it's tough, though. San Jose State winning a road conference game at Wyoming. I don't know. I think I'll probably go with Wyoming, but I think this one will be close.
All right. Well, and then we got also not that we're going to mention this game too much, but CSU-Nevada, go Pack, I guess, right?
Yikes. Yeah, that one could be a massive blowout.
I guess to watch this weekend, like this week, I don't want to say games are kind of eh, but here's two games I'm looking forward to see. Fresno State at CSU, because J.D. Page and Nico Carvaccio can actually be pretty good at times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Fresno is... they're probably the third best team, but CSU, I think they have enough to maybe cause some issues, even though they've only won, what, 2 of 8, 2 of 9? And they lost by 15 to Utah State. And they're going to lose by 20 probably to Nevada.
but they did beat New Mexico by 15, so it's kind of hit or miss.
I think it'll be closer than people think because it's a road game for Fresno, and they do have some talent there. Other game, obviously UNLV San Diego State. Because... More or less because it's a rivalry game, right? I don't – like, UNLV should win. Let me – we know what Ken Pom says. Let's play our game again, Eli.
All right. I'd say San Jose State's favored.
Oh, my. Sorry.
What's that?
No, go ahead. I gave something away. Go.
64%.
You're closer than I thought, but it's – they're giving Aztec 73% chance to win.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. That seems high.
That is – extremely high. What is Ken Pom? What did Ken Pom have for that? Like a 4?
It has San Diego State at 62%.
Man, that's...
that still feels a bit high to me.
Aztecs are so hit or miss, so I what are we going to do?
I don't know. I think I'm probably rolling with the Rebels on that one.
I am too. That's one of the two victories. And also, we got Gordon. I guess Utah State and New Mexico could be something, because it's not like the Aggies are great away from home. From who they like lost to, like at BYU, at Houston, at Nevada. They beat the bottom feeders, so they're just okay on the road, not great. Beat Middle Tennessee State, which is whatever, nothing, start of the year, but or Montana State, excuse me. Let's get to your list you made. You made a list of some sorts of, hey, what the heck's going on in the conference?
That's right.
So, hey, Eli, what the heck's going on?
Oh, gosh, everything's going on, man. I guess I've gone over a number of these strange facts. I guess the first one is the number of blowouts that we've seen. I also found that 4 of the 5 players named to the all-conference team in the preseason have a lower field goal percentage than last year. Like Caleb Martin's down 6%, Cody Martin's down 4%, Justin James is down 9%. We've got a lot of things. Fresno State's only lead against Utah State was the final score, and they also came back from 20 to beat San Diego State. And a lot of teams that just seem to be doing something right, and then it just falls apart. We have Boise State, who lost on a game winner to Cody Martin, who's a 22.8% three-point shooter. And then they lost on the road to Fresno State by 10 and then Air Force by 14 to follow that one up. Obviously, with what New Mexico has done, they beat Nevada by 27. Then lost by 11 to UNLV, lost by 15 to Colorado State, and lost by 20 to San Diego State. So you can kind of pick all the fun ones you like out of here. Also, Utah State, they have 2 games against the top 40 in KenPom this year. They have a 27-point win over St. Mary's and a 23-point loss to Nevada.
Okay.
So
my favorite might be of Nemes Queta. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Nemias, maybe?
Yeah, Nemias Queta, yeah.
Nemias Queta. So he came from Portugal overseas right before school started, and just a top 60 player in most categories on offense and defense, I guess, rebounding percentage, block percentage, I guess he's an offensive defensive threat. So that's kind of the most interesting ones I'd say. Because like, hey, who would expect? That's probably is that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but probably a good reason they're actually better than most people thought because we had them at the bottom half of the conference.
Oh, definitely. And a lot of the previews entering the season didn't even call for Kata because he was such a late signing. But he has just been fantastic. And I had a stat in early December I just pulled up. On December 2nd, I don't know if that's changed since then. And I guess a few of his ranks have declined a bit. But he was the only player nationally who was in the top 40 in offensive rebounding percentage, defensive rebounding percentage, and block percentage. So he's just been fantastic for Utah State. And to get a guy like him as a freshman in late August has completely turned the season around. And I think that's why the Aggies are so good.
I'd also like to point out, Aztec's defense is plummeting like a meteor to the earth in 22-18, in 100 years from now. 200th in adjusted defensive efficiency.
That's right.
They were top 60 for the past decade and top 10 three straight years since 07. Not, I mean, the past decade, not this decade, obviously. But is that a Steve Fisher thing? What do you think is up with that?
I think it's a Justin Hutson thing. That's what a lot of people seem to indicate that. Especially Aztec fans are pretty bummed out about Hutson leaving and now taking the reins at Fresno State. But Fresno State, I think last I checked, they're 33rd in defensive efficiency, and San Diego State's all the way down at 200. And a lot of that has to do with what Justin Hutson did with San Diego State, implementing such a tough defense that he's now translating to Fresno State, and it's gotten the job done so far.
So who's the best coaching hire, Hutson or Craig Smith?
Oh, man. That's tough. I think I'm probably going to go with Craig Smith because the expectations were a little bit less for Utah State coming in than for Fresno State, and I don't think they had nearly as much talent. But I think both coaches have done an excellent job. I would probably go with Craig Smith. What about you?
I think so, too, because they had DeSean Taylor for Fresno State. They had a key player there, and Rodney Terry leaving was, like, out of nowhere. And Aggies losing McEwen, Kobe out to Marquette, who was probably could have been challenged for player of the year, perhaps, was gone, and they lost guys to graduation and everything. And so I would lean at this point, yeah, Craig Smith. If Fresno State happens to, say, tie for the conference championship or do something above and beyond in a tournament, yeah, switch. But at this moment, it's a slight edge. But those are, besides Musselman, those are probably the two best hires in a very long time in the conference because Menzies, man, doing okay, not great. It's too early for Prairie Lou over at San Jose State to come in to see what he's doing. Any coach, those are three best hires the past almost 5 to 10 years at least.
Mm-hmm. And we had Weir and Dutcher, both first year head coaches, meeting in the tournament final last season. So
that's right.
It at least appears that the conference is doing better at selecting some of these head coaches.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, that's been an uptick. Yeah, I guess we had Weir for the late season last year. Dutcher, it's like, I don't know, like you said, what he made the tournament final. It's still early. Those are guys who are on, year one, two, essentially. Even Allen Edwards did pretty good in his first little bit taking over, but he also had pretty good talent with Hayden Dalton as well on his team. So we'll see. I'd say it's another year or two to see how really good it is, but I'm hoping that those coaches doing what they're doing, maybe its league will get back to being a minimum of three tournament bids, not needing the heads above shoulders favorite to lose in the semifinal to make that happen.
Yeah, that's the goal.
You know, we haven't discussed?
What's that?
San Jose State's potential throwback blunder, possibly.
What's that?
Not returning Muss's phone call.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I wrote that piece last week about how San Jose State's athletic director at the time didn't return Eric Musselman's phone call when he was on the Arizona State staff, and now look where both programs are at. It's a pretty fascinating story, and I think it's a story that not a lot of people know about, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, because it just came out. A couple things with that, though. Looking back at what you wrote and doing some research at the time, it wasn't the wrong move that he wasn't the head coach, but it's probably the wrong move to at least not talk to him, especially when you are San Jose State.
Yeah, that's exactly the point that I was trying to make with my column, is that if I were in the position of the athletic director, I think it's Gene Blamire.
Yeah, Gene.
He had the option of either selecting Musselman, Jean Prelo, who's now the current coach, he was with Colorado at the time, Dave Wojcik, and then Rick Croy, who's now the head coach at Cal Baptist and with St. Mary's at the time. I wouldn't have selected Musselman if I were in that position. I definitely would have given him a call to see just what's going on with that situation, but I don't think that we can really blame Meyer for what he decided going with Wojcik, because he was certainly qualified. He was under Leon Rice at Boise State at the time, and he met what the program at least had in mind of what they would do in the following few years. And I think Wojcik did a pretty good job, honestly, before he had to resign. He had turned things around by his fourth year and had some really good players on that roster. But we can obviously look back and laugh, and I know a lot of fans will do that, knowing that San Jose State could have had Eric Musselman as their head coach. But just things work out for funny reasons, and I guess this is one of those odd stories that we'll reflect on from years from now and see what happened.
What if? There's also the situation, like, Wojcik was a fine coach. Like, look at Brandon Clark. He brought him in. He's going to be West Coast Conference first team, most likely, player of the year candidate out there. They've had other guys transfer do well, but also there's the DUI he had. He had very little college coach because I think he was only at Arizona State for a very short time. And so it's like, it wasn't the wrong move to not hire him. But again, when you're San Jose State, it's not like Musselman was calling Kentucky to try to get the head coaching job, or even calling like whatever, like Washington State or something. You know what I mean? Some even going to Cal or Stanford. It's like, it's not like he's trying to call to get an above average job. It was even at the time, San Jose State was probably a bottom third job in the entire country. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, why would you not look at everything? At least say, okay, don't even interview him. Get some introductory phone calls. Say, hey, what's going on? What do you think about coaching? What's your ideals? And just kind of, no, because here's the upside too. He's kind of in the area. He's been an NBA head coach. He's coached pros. Just because if you're a guy who coaches in the league, NBA, it's like, even if you're not successful, you kind of know what it takes to get guys to the NBA, and you might be able to lure in a better player to a notch above than, like I say, a guy predict going between, say, San Jose State or BYU or something like that, or some of that level, or San Jose State, New Mexico State, you know what I mean, where that's a difference is not a ton, or going to like a lower level Big 12 school or bottom Big 10 school, bring them into San Jose State where you're going to play right away, and he knows how to get guys. Like, he wouldn't get these amazing guys. Even he's barely doing that in Nevada, despite Jordan Brown, who came in last year. But if you have that experience in NBA, it's like, well, maybe you'll turn a guy who's looking at the top team in the Big West to go to your school instead. That's still a pretty good get for Spartans hoops. But it happened, and it wasn't the wrong move. It's just a wrong move not to at least follow up and say, hey, let's look at everything. Because remember the last search? Was it we always make fun of it. Before they got Jane Prelu, who was the guy that was brought? Mark Fox? No, he was in the mix. He was old.
For San Jose State?
Yeah, who was it before? I know Fox.
It was
old Nevada coach. Goodness.
I know who you're talking about. I've got the name right now.
They're yelling at Nevada coach, but their coaching search last time didn't really
instill Trent Johnson.
Yeah, Trent Johnson, yeah. It's like that didn't really instill confidence in. Was it the same AD? Is Gene still there, correct?
No, he's not anymore.
Okay, well, maybe my correlation won't work properly. I was going to say, coaching search this time was super quiet because they're even looking at some D2 coach out in Connecticut, I believe.
Yep.
And so it's like you're doing that, but then you don't bring up a guy who has a couple years, at least chat with this. So I was going to make that correlation. Like, their search was odd then and now, but whatever, it happens. Hopefully San Jose State turns around in a couple years because they need to kind of rebuild up the losing top talent, but that's story time, I guess, for Eric Musselman and San Jose State. And Nevada, congratulations, made the right move.
That's right, yeah.
And now don't let him go to UCLA.
Oh, man. Yeah, and that's kind of the forward-thinking bit of this article, is that just knowing Musselman, his personality, how he coaches, and I guess a little bit of his past failures in his career, both on and off the court, it's enough for an AD or a general manager or whoever to kind of question things and maybe not want to lean in his direction or his style. And so I think the more that we see Musselman rumored to take one of these blue blood type jobs, I think that's just something to consider, that Musselman has his own personality and the way he does things. And even though he wins games, that just might not be the direction that some teams and programs want to go.
Yeah, we'll see, because he's doing well enough. He's doing, like, he makes a decent amount of money. They could probably uptick a little bit each year, but especially when he builds off transfers. Here's the one before we wrap up here, because I know we got to go. His one kind of red flag, which is may not be anymore, is that, can he recruit high school guys? You got Jordan Brown to come in.
Yep.
That's probably their biggest recruit ever, since maybe Fesenskis was there, Nick Fesenskis years ago, or there could be some other guy, but he's a guy from years ago. Trent Johnson was doing good things. That's the only thing if you're going to go to, but then again, if you're going to UCLA, say he does land a huge up, Arizona, UCLA, some big time power program school, Illinois, or something that traditionally brings in good talent, you don't really need to be the best recruiter. You know what I mean? They're going to want to come to you instead of you reaching out to them.
Yep.
And so it's like, how do you work that relationship and stuff? But we'll see how it goes. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves with that. But that's it for today. A quick 30-plus minute show. Got some news and notes in there, a couple game stuff, and go Falcons. Yeah. We will attempt to – we're going to work better in our schedule. We're going to try to come back next week to see what's going on and, I guess, look in with Bracket Matrix, and maybe somebody will unearth some prior Mountain West news with these teams. That'd be pretty cool.
That's right.
All right. So check us out. Tune in, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. Check us out there. Download, subscribe, and, again, MWR.com. See you next time, folks.